Capernaum, or really Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast. The Zebulun and Naphtali doesn't mean a lot to us, but he's basically given us the geography there. He's narrowed it down that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, where are you at there? I'm in Matthew 5. I'm in my other reference. Sorry. I'm reading them out of order. How many of you want to pray for the preacher missing an hour of sleep? Thank you. Several of you going, okay. Jesus heard that. Let's start at verse 13. All right. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Then comes Jesus from Galilee to Jordan. There we go. Unto John to be baptized of him. Some of you can't wait now for me to get to Matthew 5. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me. It is the humility of John the Baptist. I have studied his life extensively. I am convinced he's not only underrated and under-talked about, but the test of his humility when he is the man. No prophet 400 years, and he comes with the obvious hand of God on him. He gets on the king's radar list, and he is politically assassinated. Most of us don't merit a phone call back from a local politician, much less the hatred of those in ultimate power. And John the Baptist did, with not a mark against him. And when his integrity and humility are challenged time and again, he passes the test. He does so here. I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me. Jesus answering, by the way, and that's the law. This is how this should happen. This is the fulfillment of the law. This is what should be done. This is the prescribed thing that the teacher, the master, does this. He is showing ultimate reverence, and again, really to his cousin. Verse 15. And Jesus answered and said to him, Suffer, permit it now to be so, for thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered or permitted him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. So I believe in sprinkling. You have a hard time with verse 16. It's hard to come out of a spritz bottle. It's hard to come out of just a little bit of water dripped on your head. I mean nothing mean or ugly, but baptism means immersion. Immersion, he was in the river. He came up out of the water. That's the only biblical example and record that we have, and all of them agree, by the way. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. The metaphor, the simile rather, is important there. He didn't come as a dove. He just came, as it were, cascading down like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The United Brethren and all those folks who argue against the Trinity, as good a preacher as some of the TV guys are who argue against the Trinity, have unbelievable problems with this verse. How do you have separate Spirit of God, Jesus the Son coming out of the water, and then the voice of God the Father, if they are all the same person? It doesn't make any sense at all. The Bible screams by implication and screams by illustration that God exists in a Trinity of equal persons, illustrated here perfectly for us at this baptism of Jesus. You're there in Matthew chapter 3. You can look at the screen or flip over a couple of verses, a couple of pages there, Matthew chapter 28. The Bible says, And Jesus came, spake unto him, saying, All power, all authority is given me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you all the way, even unto the end of the world. A verse we read last week, Acts chapter 2, verse number 38, the Bible says, Then Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ, Jesus Christ, for the remission, the putting away of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit here. I've been talking about next steps. Last week, our first step, really, to repent and believe. You must agree with God about your sins. You must want God to forgive you of your sins. Be willing to turn from your sins and turn to God. Turn. That was the witness there that we noticed and we've observed. And we've talked a good bit about that. I think that is the primary. And then that, by the way, that keeping our relationship right with God, there is necessary. There is to be a lifestyle of repentance, not for salvation, but to keep my relationship the way it ought to be. And then today I want to talk to you about something we don't talk about a lot for some reason. I want to talk to you about being baptized, the public display of my relationship, my identification with Christ. Pray with me. Father, may this be instructive, may this be helpful, may this be encouraging, and may this be a real call to obedience. And as we replay this, as we use this promotionally, we use this aggressively online and on CDs, we help people understand this. May we see the significance and the beauty of it. May we see the need that we have. And Lord, I don't know everybody's situation here. I know that we do have some folks that are preparing to be baptized. And Lord, we're not chastising them or anything like that. Father, this is just a biblical sermon on a biblical subject. And I pray that you'd help us. And Lord, there's a lot of folks who haven't taken this step. And even some of our young people. And they need to. This is an opportunity for them. So help us. But more than that, help us to see the principles behind it. And in particular, help us to see the need of obedience. Lord, we love you. We need you. Spirit of God, help me, I pray. May I preach with power and authority your word. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would just help us to see and love this and be committed to it. I pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. And amen. Amen. You can be seated. One of the marks of any time that you get together with a group of pastors is they begin to share stories. And until the dawn of the internet, or the real collection rather, the World Wide Web, which I reckon turned 30 this year or this month, and those kind of things. But YouTube, what's that? Oh, but YouTube has let us see some things that you haven't been able to see. One of those is you get to see funny things other people have. You may ever see anything funny on YouTube or those funny sites and all. One of my favorite things to look at is if somebody has a funny baptism. A funny baptism. I've seen some of those, but I know some of them. I've actually been present for some of them. I have unfortunately been around some awkward times. I've been present when a young man decided that being baptized was fun, but swimming was better. And he got away from the guy baptizing him. And all you see in the photos is the guy down there fishing, trying to grab a boy who doesn't want to be grabbed. And it was a glass front. It's not like ours. You could do that here, nobody laughed because they wouldn't be able to see you. But they were down there fishing for him. I have a dear friend. Some of you know him. I'll leave his name out. But he pastors down in Georgia now. And he was baptizing an older couple. How many of you are glad for older people who follow Christ and believe in baptism? He was following an older couple and baptized the man. He got out. He was on the other side. And the lady, and it was a little brisk. The water was a little brisk. And you look right up here, guys. You'll like this. And so the lady puts one foot in and says it's cold. But she doesn't. She just kind of exclaims. She goes, "Huh!" And the crowd started laughing, and the woman was embarrassed, and the preacher just kept beckoning her, and all of a sudden he heard some splashing, and there's the husband on his belly with both hands in the water. And what he couldn't see and couldn't figure out was when the woman stepped in like this, it caught her so off guard, she spit her false teeth out. And the pastor is there swimming somewhere around his knees, the congregation's laughing, and the husband's desperately trying to grab the set of chompers before they get away there. I have a pastor friend who, for whatever reason, started to change and decided he wasn't going to change his clothes, but he kind of undid his belt. Bigger fella like me. And so as he's in there in the water and the motion, and the belt starts working its way off his body like a snake. And so as he's talking, people are laughing. He thinks he's really connecting with the people because they're responding. And what they're laughing at is his size 44 belt is just doing one of these all the way down. By the time he sees the belt, the gravity and all has got a hold of his britches pretty good. And so now it's survival time, amen. And so he's got to baptize, holding up his britches with one hand and the belt down there in the other. And everybody just laughing, and the service is uproarious. Anyway, he pastored in Virginia and all. But you see some things. You see people cannonball, stuff like that. You see people want to be baptized in a body of water. They want to be baptized inside. There's all kinds of things. We think about this. For me, when I talk about baptism, I really think of great memory. I think of funny stories. Funny stories. Sometimes we talk about it. It does a couple of things. People have a question mark. What? Baptism. What in the world? Why in the world would I want to get wet in front of a bunch of people? In my clothes on, amen? If you're talking about going swimming, I'd probably go for that, right? If we were going to do some things, if we were going to go sit in a hot tub, you know, that didn't sound like a bad idea, right? Especially in a cold morning or something like that. And not with all of us. I'm just talking about just in general there. Some of you going, I don't want to go to a hot tub with you. I'm not saying us. I'm saying, or if you say, you know, baptism, some of you are like, I don't like water. Water? Man. That's a scary kind of thing. And what are we talking about here? Why in the world, Jesus, the Scriptures, the New Testament, the early church, why in the world is it such a big deal? And let me go a little bit further. Some of you that grew up north or somewhere, you grew up around Roman Catholics. You got in here somewhere that to be baptized, to be sprinkled or christened was to wash away sin. And you won't find that in the Scripture. You'll find that in the Roman Catholic Catechism, the CCC. But you were told this. You were told this. And again, how many of you think it's a good idea for babies to get a bath? Amen. And that's a good thing. And but you can't, there's some things I want to address here about that. And so I want to make sure you understand some of this we're going to come crossways at. And I want you to rely upon the Scripture, not just what I'm saying. So I want to help you with that. And then some other folks, you got in your head, you know, I got to do this. There's groups of people who say, you know, you just got to. Where I went to grad school at, you know, right across the street from the main campus, there was a church, and that was their big deal, that you had to be water baptized in order to go to heaven. You had to do this. And so I want to help us with that, okay? Is that a biblical? Is that just something you should do? And so I want to work through that. So it's not that complicated. But I would suggest to you, and even a crowd our size, even the folks that will come through here in 6 weeks, 6 months' time, there are a lot of people who say they know Jesus, but they never give him a second thought to following him in believer's baptism. And I want to suggest to you, I think this is the obvious next step. And I want to help you here. I want to help you. Again, I'm not going to be ugly about any of this, not going to be mean and disagree or anything like that. I just want to present the Scriptures to you, and I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you, those of you who need or are ready to do that. Again, we do have folks that are ready to do that, need to do that, five or six actually. And so that's where we are. Number one, let me give you a couple things here. I'm going to walk you through this and some Scriptures. How many of you are ready? You ready to say amen? Ready to say amen? You got your pens ready and I'll flip on the back. Number one, baptism not necessary for salvation, but it is for obedience. I'm going to make a statement. I'm going to prove it, okay? Baptism not necessary for salvation, but it is for obedience. Jesus looked at the thief on the cross. One railed on him, one repented, one despised him, one believed him, one put his faith and trust in him, one put him down. Jesus looked at him and said, this day you will what? Be with me in paradise. I talked to a guy one time. He said, well, Jesus baptized him as he went up. I said, do you really believe there that Jesus put a bathtub somewhere through on the clouds? In other words, do you believe that a spiritual body got a water baptism? He was kind of out of sorts there, If Jesus would put this priority here, again, most of this is a Roman Catholic idea, you know, about being baptized here, then he would have constantly coupled it with it. One of the verses I read does say repent and be baptized, and I want to address that in a little bit. But anyway, baptism, not necessary for salvation, but obedience. We are Baptists, and we believe in baptism, but we don't believe in baptism saving. No work, look, I didn't put this in your notes here, but write this out. No work saves me. No good work saves me. Man, as good as I love Brooklyn Conch, and the fact that she loves me, and when she is here, she keeps me hydrated. She started bringing me candy and stuff, I'd love her better. And she keeps me hydrated, and Allison, my daughter's namesake back there, keeps me hydrated, and they'll go look for it. And I thought they're going to walk to the store one day because I didn't have any water. And man, as good as I love them for doing that, that doesn't help them get right with God, does it? Makes them real makes me real happy with them, amen. But it doesn't get them right with God. You can come to church all the time. You used to give out pens and stuff for attendance. You can do all this stuff. No work saves me. No work saves me. It is Christ's work that saves me, not my work. Say amen if you believe that, by the way. We got other problems if not. Number two there. Number two, baptism is the outward expression of inward change. Baptism, the outward expression of inward change. I was downtown this week. Downtown. I was by University of Tennessee this week. I was over there by the giant Publix and Walmart. What is that street? You may, Union, University Common. I was over there. I'm still impressed that a Walmart has an escalator. I think that's cool. I must have rode it three times. I was getting paint for outside and all and Roundup and stuff. And I was down there. I'm still overwhelmed. It's 2.5 years in. I'm still overwhelmed. I got hurt. I'm still overwhelmed how much orange is in this town. I know those of you who lived here, it doesn't, but this is an orange place. Amen? It's an orange place. There's a lot of red in Raleigh for North Carolina State. There's a lot of blue in Chapel Hill for UNC. There's a lot of dark blue at Duke and death and destruction and evil for Duke University. Sorry, I'm bitter. There. I've been in Pittsburgh on game day. There's a lot of black and gold, but there's a lot of ever-present orange. I saw guys working, doing construction or doing a road work, and I thought, well, even the road workers are University of Tennessee fans, you know, but they were just wearing their safety vest, you know, to be identified. I fully expect football season to see Kenneth Presley's head painted orange going into the game. How many of you pay good money, by the way, to see that? And to be identified. Well, how do you identify? One of the ways to be identified, Jesus has said, is to be baptized, to follow in baptism here. It is the public, by the way. It's a public announcement of private repentance and faith. You can't get them backwards. You can be dunked, sprinkled, splashed. The modes can change. You can do whatever and die lost. You can be outwardly clean. That's what he kept throwing, by the way, at the Pharisees. They were perfectly, hygienically, surgically clean, but inside were dead. You must be born again. The outward ritual is a reflection of the inward reality, but the outward ritual cannot change the inward reality. You can do it till you're blue in the face. So this is the public announcement of the private repentance and faith. Let me help you. America, we're pretty fast to do this. I don't know if it's a good or bad thing all the time. But a lot of countries, they won't. They want you to wait. They want you to wait months. They want to see if you really meant that you repented, that you really meant that you trusted Christ, that you're faithful to Him, you're faithful to His service, that your life has started to change there. Why? Because they know when you make this and you come up out of the water, you're screaming to the world that I mean business for God. So it's this public announcement, public announcement. Let me give you a couple questions here. I'll be done. Be done. How many of you can listen fast? How many of you listen fast? I know we got to be back tonight and all. Or what is baptism? Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Flip over there and let me help you. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. I don't have you flip a lot of pages here, but I want you to see this. Romans chapter 6 in verse number 1. Romans 6. And I'll leave the notes up there for you. Romans chapter 6, verse number 1. The Bible says, look in your tablet or your phone there. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? They're asking the question, grace is so good, why don't we keep sinning? And he says, may it never come to pass. We translate that word as God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Let me help you. If your life has never changed, you're dead to sin. You're dead in sin. But if you've been saved, you're now dead to sin. You have this marvelous grace of God to live right, to do what you're supposed to do. Verse 3, know you not so many of us that were baptized. It's a word I'm interested in this morning. We're baptized into Jesus Christ. We're baptized into His death. Come again. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. See, I didn't quite catch that, Paul. Good, I'll say it again in verse 5. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing, here's our third picture, knowing that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. He says, you have been what? You have been buried with him, baptized with him, raised to newness of life. The old man is crucified, put to death, but raised to newness of life. And he that is dead is freed from sin. Over and over he puts the picture. Your baptism, your identification with him is a wonderful picture of what? It's a picture of what Christ did. Truth of the matter is, we say that most of the time. Most pastors I know that believe the scriptures, we are what? Lord in the water, in the likeness of his death. Raised again in the likeness of his resurrection. Why? Because that's the picture he gives us. That's the picture he gives us. Not the washing of water. He's not talking about that. It's not. I'm not regenerated by that water. If it is, we ought again put it in a super soaker or a fire truck and walk around squirting everybody. There's nothing about that that does that. It is what it symbolizes. It's what it represents here. What is baptism? Number one, it means immersion. It's all the word means. Many of you have heard the story, they're translating, particularly the King James, and they're translating it, and they, for whatever reason, they tried to transliterate it. They didn't, the word means immerse. The word is baptizo or baptized. It didn't do any harm. It's not a problem. It's not a big deal. But it throws some people who like to argue it means this or that. No, it means immerse. It means submerge. Jesus was in the water. John was baptizing his disciples in the water. That's always what it means. If Jesus, by the way, is only sprinkled for our death, we have a lot of trouble, right? He was completely submerged. He went all the way for us. And so we remember that it means immersion, immersion there. And again, some folks trip over that. It is identification. It's identification with Christ. We have public baptism. There's just no simpler picture. Again, he uses agriculture. He uses death there. He uses the water baptism. Lowered, raised, planted, crucified. It's the picture for us. How many of you like pictures? How many of you, if you're putting something together, you want a picture, amen? How many of us, we need to fix something? First thing we need to do is to go to the internet or YouTube. We want something. How many of you, we really need something? We want somebody to show us how to do it. Walk me through it a couple times. Let's show what Jesus does. Here it is. And we are identified with him. One of the best things we did, we swerved into it. We got these t-shirts. We got to do another order. People, you want more t-shirts. Some of you don't have t-shirts. And they got our church name on. Every now and then I'll wear mine and all. And I know most of you want me in a coat and tie all the time. Anyway, every now and then I wear mine in public. And I have somebody walk up to me with a big doofy grin on their face and say, okay, tell me about your church. And I think, how do they know? And I remember, it's on the back of the t-shirt. Ask me about our church, you know, I'm identified, I need to straighten up and quit acting like an idiot at the ball game, and you know, I need to do these things. We're identified. Some of you got on the back of your cars there, you know, home for your family, see the yard signs all over. We want to do it. It's a way to be identified. I mentioned this is an orange town. We'll be identified. This is how I want to be identified. Number three, I'm identified with Christ. Verse 3, Romans 6. Know ye not so many of us as were baptized in Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We talk about baptism almost exclusively. Look right here for a second. Almost exclusively talking about church membership. I don't know why we've only hitched it to that one wagon. I don't know why we've done that, but we sure have. Baptism says, I'm ready to be identified with his death. I'm ready to be identified with his cross. I'm ready to be publicly consumed, immersed, submerged. I want it all. I want all of him. Now that's just as strong as I know how to make it. That's just as powerful as it can be. Again, it's usually a speed bump on the road to membership. I don't know why we've substituted the reality of this. This is why it's so powerful. Boy, you say you made a profession of faith. Wonderful. Great. Let's obey. Let's be publicly identified with Christ's death and resurrection and publicly identified with Jesus. All of it. All of it. What does it mean? It means at least these three things. There are more. Who should be baptized? Quickly. Who should be baptized? Who should be baptized? We say everybody ought to be baptized. Well, everybody ought to be bathed, but everybody who should be baptized, well, believers ought to be baptized. Believers ought to be baptized and not unbelievers. Believers ought to be baptized and not unbelievers. You read there in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Crowd this size, those of you who will be listening later on, I mean no harm to you if you baptized or sprinkled or christened or whatever you did with your infant children. May I appreciate your heart and your sentiment. I'm happy for you. I've been asked to do it. I always say no. Most of the time, I usually explain to people, and they go, well, you know, we don't need to do that anyway. If it's your heart to raise your kids for Christ, do it a dedication service. That's all you mean. But you give no one, you're not doing anybody any favors telling a kid his original sin was washed away because some preacher took a handful of water and dripped it over his head. See, a child, an infant can't believe. Baptism is for believers. It's believers' baptism. Again, you want to bathe your kids, be my guest. You want to have public ceremony, again, be my guest. But the only thing it signifies is your hope for them. You can't believe for them. You can't repent for them. And you can't, there's nothing magical, mystical about that water. We've done this, and people have perpetrated this, and they've gotten false hope to people. And you ask them, are you a believer in Christ? And they say, I was baptized as a child. And I know that you got it. I know somebody well-meaning said that to you, but it's just not Bible. And we have to go by the Bible. One of the prerequisites to being baptized is you've got to repent. And you can't repent if you can't understand sin. You can't understand the Savior. You can't understand the sorrow for your sin. It's just hard for you to do as an infant, and you can't even feed yourself. Can I get an amen from anybody? So it's for believers, not unbelievers. For believers. Then last, well, why? Why should I do this? Why should I do this? Can I offer this to you again? I hope you're taking all this in the spirit I'm giving it. It's a sign of obedience. Excuse me. It's a sign of Trinitarian belief. You looked there earlier, Matthew chapter 28. Look at verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptism carries with it the Trinity. Biblical teaching of the Trinity. You know why Muslims hate Christian baptism? Because we say, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's why some of those countries, they baptize at night or baptize in the dead of the morning because they don't want an armed patrol to come by because they'll shoot on sight. You read about the stories from Nairobi, you read about some of the stories from the 90s and the early 2000s that have been now printed and recorded, and just the hostility. You read about the martyrdom for those Christians who they don't mind what they're doing, but if they get baptized, then they are marked for death. Because they do so what? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Spirit. Wait for it. The sign of Trinitarian belief, number three. Number two, it's a sign of agreement. It's a sign of agreement. I believe what the Bible says. I believe what the Bible says. I hadn't done this. I hadn't gone and found me a church that didn't teaches differently. I'm just there. I'm on it. I'm with you. I'm there. You say do this, I say okay. Say this is the mode, I say okay. See, it takes some real guts for somebody who got sprinkled as a kid to step up here. People come out of different, you know, tribes inside of Christianity. But wait for it. So why was Jesus baptized? Because he wanted to fulfill all the law. He gave us an example. He did all those things. He did it, and this is what God said he was well pleased with. He was well pleased, and that's our third thing there with obedience. It's heart obedience. Heart obedience. I want to obey. If I say carrot and stick, everybody over 40 understands what I'm saying? If I say carrot and stick, some of you younger ones, you can do two things two ways. You can do it because of carrot. Somebody offers you something, you like it, and you do it because you like what they're offering to. Or you can do it because of the stick, because either they're about to get you, or you're about to be gotten, or you've been gotten. You can clean up your room and obey with tears running down your face or a smile on your face. You got two ways, but you're going to do what you've been told to do, right? Boss man say, you're going to have this done by Friday, you're going to be fired, or you're going to have this done by Friday, and there's a $1,000 bonus for you, right? There's carrot and stick here. We love what? We love when somebody just does something because they're supposed to, and we really love it when somebody does something and they just do it because they love us. Just obedience. Just hard obedience. Every parent smiles when they think of their children obeying out of deep love. And God Himself smiles when we what? When we obey simply because we are supposed to. For most of us, it is that next step. It is that first opportunity to obey God out of a heart of obedience. See, you really can't be right with God and reject His commandments. Again, I made all the disclaimers I think I needed to. Again, I know folks are scared of water. I know circumstances. I'm there. I'm not. There's a point, boy, where I love seeing a teenager who's made a public profession and go, I don't care who knows. Brother Lawson's not here. I as way he was. We couldn't get it worked out, man, where all his family could be here. He says, I just need to be baptized. I need to do this for the Lord. And he got baptized, and we took the pictures for him. Everybody remember? I love that kind of heart. Look right here. I love that heart. And if I love that heart, I know God loves that heart. See, you can't be right with God. Let me help you. Lying, stealing, cheating, those are all God's commandments. God's not happy when we break them. And I want to help you here. We are commanded as believers to what? Put our faith and trust in Him, repent of our sins, and then that next step, one of those next steps ought to be following Him. Ought to be following Him. I want to encourage you to take the next step. Take the next step. Those of you watching the video, I want you to take the next step. Take the next step. Be ready to take the next step. Work it out. Work out the details. Take the next step. Go through a practice run if you're scared of water. Take the next step. Do that. Again, it is an outward sign of an inward change. It is a visible identification with Christ and Christ's death and resurrection. But for most of us, it's just the next step of growth. Next step of growth. What should be my next step? Baptism. Identifying with Christ through the visible symbol image of being submerged in water like He was lowered in the ground and died and then raised with Him to walk in newness of life. What a picture, what a privilege, what an opportunity for you. Pray with me now.